Hi, welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie, and this is episode number 110 for September 23rd, 2007. Coming up in a few minutes.
People in France think that everybody can drink or can test cognac, but to test Armagnac, you must be a professional. And that's maybe the worst thing we can have on the Armagnac, to be so unique. We don't want to be so unique.
That's Frédéric Royenot of the Armagnac producer Marcel Trepeau. Yes, Armagnac. For the first time, we'll talk about something other than whiskey, but something you really ought to try, along with something new in cognac, single estate cognacs that compare favorably to single malt scotches. More in a few minutes, but first, let's look at the news. There's a new release from the Balvenie, and if you're lucky enough to see a bottle of it, that's probably all you'll be able to do. The Balvenie Cask 191 single malt was distilled back in 1952 and cask-aged for 50 years. By then, the Angels had taken more than their share, and Cask 191 produced just 83 bottles. The price tag? About $30,000 a bottle. Fortunately, Compass Box's whiskies are far less expensive, and there are several new releases hitting the market this fall. The U.S. finally gets a taste of Flaming Heart, which was released last year in Europe. The second release of Flaming Heart will be available worldwide, along with a new bottling of Hedonism. Back in June, John Glazer told us about his new Canto range, a series of single cask malts.
Along the lines of Oak Cross, we've been aging various malt whiskies in new French oak, but different types of toast levels. And I've talked about this before, some of the work we've been doing with different levels of toasted oak and the different flavors that these yield. And what we're doing now, we've had all these sort of trial casks aging away for a while, and no home for them really, and so I decided I would open them up to our importers around the world, and we're selling a cask or two to some of our key customers around the world, and we're just bottling it as a single cask strength malt. There'll be variations on a theme, and that's where the word canto comes into play, because a canto is a division of a long poem. It's part of a longer poem, and each of these casks will be part of an overall idea. Variations on the theme. Some will have a very heavy toast level, some will have a medium toast level, and so on. So we'll ship one to the U.S. We'll ship another 12 or 13 or 14 to other parts of the world, and they'll all be called Canto from Compass Box.
In the U.S., Park Avenue Liquors in New York will have the Canto exclusive this fall. And finally, Compass Box is doing a series of bespoke whiskies available just in Europe. Morpheus will be sold only at Milroy's of Soho in London for £40 a bottle. Hedonism Maximus will be available at La Maison de Whisky in Paris. And that's where Juvenile's restaurant will have a special bottling to celebrate its 20th anniversary. A few weeks ago, George Grant of Glenfarclas told us about the Family Casks series. That's a series of 43 vintage single cask malts from the Glenfarclas warehouses. The Grants held a special event last week in London to introduce the range officially. Diageo has cranked up a new bottling line for Johnnie Walker whiskies at its Shield Hall plant in Scotland. The £12 million project is part of Diageo's plans to invest £100 million in its Scotch business. Finally, if one European acquisition this year wasn't enough for Vijay Mallya, two might be. Of course, Mallya bought White & Mackay earlier this year, and now he's moving into motorsports. Mallya agreed this past week to buy the struggling Spyker Formula One team. Don't expect the cars to carry White & Mackay, Dalmore, or Jura logos. Mallya is more likely to use Formula One to promote his Kingfisher airline and beer businesses. From the calendar of events, first a correction to make. The Stockholm Beer and Whiskey Festival is winding up its first weekend today and continues this coming weekend in Stockholm, along with the Autumn Speyside Whiskey Festival in Dufton. McTeers in Glasgow will hold an auction of rare whiskies and wines on the 28th, and Templeton Rye will hold a tasting dinner at the Sage Restaurant in Des Moines, Iowa, on October 4th. Of course, you'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. I've been thinking about Armagnacs and Cognacs this past week for a couple of reasons. First, there was an email discussion among several of the malt maniacs about Armagnacs and Cognacs as an alternative to what some see as a trend toward overpriced and overrated malts. And it happened to come just a couple of days before I attended a tasting of the two spirits in New York City. If you're not familiar with them, here are a few basics. Both are distilled like whiskey, but from grapes and wine instead of grain. They're also regional designations. Cognac is made in the northwest part of France, while Armagnac is made in the southwest of France near Gascony, in the regions of Armagnac, Bas-Armagnac, and Tenerais. Veteran spirits writer F. Paul Picoult guided the Thursday night tasting.
For older Armagnacs and Cognacs, there'll be some similarities, particularly with Armagnac, to Scotch whiskey. I found that single malt lovers really can get turned on to old Armagnacs in a hurry. There's no learning curve with it. So I'd suggest to whiskey lovers in particular, if they're interested in great French brandy, to look at XO and older, or sometimes older vintages, Armagnac, and I think they'll be really pleased with it.
And in fact, some of these Armagnacs remind me quite of some very old single malt scotches in some way.
Yeah, that actually, Mark, is a really common but very insightful comment, because Armagnac, I think, is very, very close to single malt scotch, mostly in its individuality.
Now, the cognacs I'm talking about are as different from mainstream cognac brands as single malts are from blended scotches, and there's a trend these days towards single estate cognacs. Simon Powell is the cellar master at Cognac Le Reviseur.
Obviously, our cognacs are also blended, but they're only blended from our own stock. So you're probably going to find that the effect of what in French you call terroir, which is absolutely impossible to translate in English, and I'm a native English speaker, and I've been trying for 25 years and never found it. But so you probably find that the differences between, you know, our Reviseur, which is Petit Champagne, and some of our other cognacs, which are Fambois, or blends of the two, the differences are more accessible to the taster.
What flavors will one find in a wonderful, really good cognac?
Well, that depends on the age, obviously. The aging process is designed not only to give complexity, but it also changes the flavor profile. So, in a younger cognac, a very good VS, for example, you're still going to find fruitiness, which will bring you back to the vineyard and to the wine. And obviously, in the older cognacs, the XOs and above, then you're looking more for things which are driven by the aging, so oak and spice.
An example of why single estate cognac is a good alternative to many whiskies, Le Reviseur's Petit Champagne VS is fruity, but still has much of the spiciness and vanilla that you'll find in a single malt at less than $20 a bottle. And an 18- to 20-year-old XR cognac from Le Reviseur sells for about $60 a bottle. Aside from the location, there are other noticeable differences between cognac and Armagnac. Cognacs are double distilled, while Armagnac is single distilled in small, simple pot stills.
With Armagnac, you're looking at more of the wood aspect. With cognac, you're looking more at the fruit aspect because of the art of blending. They blend more in cognac than they do in Armagnac. So with Armagnac, you're looking at bigger, more robust spirits, usually. And so they're very different. I compare cognac to a Rolls-Royce, and I compare Armagnac to a Hummer. It's just a more rustic, rough and ready drink. And if you're looking for more refinement and a little bit more of a stylish drink, then I would go with cognac. If you're looking for more individuality, a little bit more challenge to your palate, I'd go with Armagnac.
We tasted a 20-year-old estate bottled Armagnac from Marcel Trepeau that was nutty and sweet with a bit of caramel, yet very well balanced and easy to drink, and priced at around $40 a bottle. Now, some single malts tend to fall apart after 30 years or more in the cask. The same thing can happen with Armagnacs, but many of the estate-bottled Armagnacs just keep getting better. We tasted vintages produced in 1957, 1925, and 1893 that were vibrant, fresh, and oh so smooth. Frédéric Renault is responsible for marketing Marcel Trepeau Armagnacs.
it's very long to make an Armagnac. You need first to grow up the grapes, and it's a very long way, about 1 year. You're not sure to get the right grapes. Then when you got the grapes, you have to make the wine. So when you make the wine, you can have some problems. It's very difficult to have the good wine. And then you have to distill the wine. And during the distillation, you can have some problems. So you see, there's three steps. And during the three steps, you must be at the best you can to make the best Armagnac. And after the last step is the aging. And the aging can last 2 or 3 generations. So it means to make one Armagnac, you can have the intervention of 2 or 3 generations of people. You see. So it's a very long way to make this product.
Why does this hold up so well? The 1893 we tasted tastes like it was made just years ago, and it's well over 110 years old.
Yeah, I remember the first time I tasted so old Armagnac, I was also surprised by the freshness you can find. All depends on the aging. If the aging is well done, if each year you choose the right barrel, not too old, not too young, and if you can choose the right moment to get this Armagnac out of the barrel, to conserve it only in glass bottles, you can make a very good Armagnac. It's not every year it's not like that. For example, the 25 or the 1893 are like that. I got some Armagnacs from all years, which are not so fresh at this one, because maybe the aging was not so good, or because the wine at the beginning for the distillation was not so good. You see what I mean?
For the person who normally would drink Scotch whiskey or bourbon, what should they know about Armagnac that would encourage them to try this?
You know, I think Armagnac is quite close from the whiskey, from the Scotch whiskey. The same way to appreciate them, the same way to make them also. The art of blending, for example, in Scotch whiskey is the same in Armagnac. So I think maybe an amateur, someone which very close for the Scotch whiskey, who appreciate the Scotch whiskey, can appreciate very well Armagnac also. You see what I mean?
And if you're one of those people who likes to visualize the Islay coast or fishing along the River Spey as you're sipping a scotch, Armagnac has its own stories as well.
One of my favorite stories is the roving distillers of Gascony, the rolling distillers of Armagnac. Because so many of the producers are very, very small in Armagnac, they don't have the money to have their own still. So they hire these 6 roving distillers who have a still on the back of a flatbed truck, and they go from producer to producer to producer, distilling all of their grapes. So it's a nice kind of interesting story that's a little bit of a sidebar, but it also tells how innocent and how down-home Armagnac is. It is very, very rustic, and I think that's a lot of the charm. And that rustic quality really shows in the brandy itself.
Let's get something straight. I'm still and always will be a whiskey lover in all of its various expressions. But there is something to be said for the occasional change in pace. And if you're ready for that change in pace, don't turn down a chance to try a cognac or Armagnac. You may find yourself brushing up on your French. That's all for this episode of Whiskey Cast, and I'll get back to whiskey next time around, I promise. Of course, I'd love to hear from you. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2007, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.